This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, Jack McKenna speaking. It's a stormy Wednesday, December 6th, 1950. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray has braved the winter storm to bring you sports. And we'll have all the latest on this winter storm.
Winter storm? What winter storm? There can't be a winter storm since your forecast yesterday said today would be clear and cold.
And I'll be taking the blame from whiny people for today's blizzard. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Firestone Toyland, featuring a jack-in-the-box for just $1.98. A splendid good evening to you, Lou.
Yes, it's lovely. The greatest amount of snowfall for December since 1885 hit Superior and northern Wisconsin by surprise last night and today. It closed schools in the city and rural areas and cut traffic to a minimum, in some cases halting completely, as drifts piled 8 feet deep from a 35-mile-an-hour nor'easter. The head of the lakes area had its previous December record snowfall just 3 days ago, when 17 inches was recorded. The forecast for tonight and tomorrow is for continued heavy snow. It's been the snow that saved us from 18 below temperatures, which had been predicted for this morning. That's the report from the Weather Bureau.
See? They forecast the cold, too.
Many people were debating today which would have been worse, the snow or cold mercury reading. All agreed, however, on tarring and feathering weather forecasters. Pedestrians early this morning were sharing the city streets with automobiles because of waist-high piles of snow that covered the sidewalks in many places. Although the city schools were closed both in Superior and Duluth, the Superior State College convened as usual. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more news on the blizzard of 1950. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Lou. 12 inches of snow has fallen in Ashland in the last 36 hours, but the region missed the nor'easter here at the head of the lakes. Ashland County Highway Commissioner Frank Anderson reports that all county roads are now open there, and there's very little drifting. Washburn County got 11 inches of the white stuff in the past 48 hours. The sun broke through this morning. And in contrast, the area out of Superior eastward experienced blocked roads and drifts in places as high as 5 feet. Poplar, Brule, and Iron River people were snowed in, schools closed. Highway number 2 is being kept open, even though 20 inches of snow has fallen since Monday night at Poplar. Iron River is shoveling out from over 20 inches of flurries. Side swiping of cars on U.S. Highway number 2 between Iron River and Ino during the height of the storm yesterday was declared due to poor visibility. A piling of snow in the Washburn-Bayfield-Shawamigan Bay region was noted. School buses, in many cases, they just weren't able to get through. 12 inches of snow is reported there, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. We now go to our world report, starting with Seoul.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in Seoul. Allied 8th Army forces halted their mass retreat south of Pyongyang today and dug in for a new Western Korean stand against the onrushing armies of Red China. General MacArthur's headquarters kept secret the location of the new line. Americans, South Koreans, British, and the Turks of the 8th Army with their better transports outran the Chinese. Every hour is vital in bulwarking their new positions. A spokesman says only that the line runs from a point south of Pyongyang, south and east. There are indications the new line might be somewhere near parallel 38, the old border between Red North and Republican South Korea. Army Chief of Staff General J. Lawton Collins took a flying visit of Korea for close-range study of the situation. He says the 8th Army is capable of taking care of itself. Here in Seoul, he told war correspondents he could see no worthwhile tactical use for the atom bomb in Korea. Collins planned a flight today to the northeast front, where 100,000 Chinese are mounting a vast enveloping move around five scattered Allied divisions of the U.S. 10th Corps. One Chinese spearhead already had cut the main highway between the two major East Coast ports of Yeongnam and Wonsan. AP correspondent Tom Stone reports from Koto that Marines and their darkened tent city there appear hopelessly trapped but are determined to make a fight for freedom. Facing the Marines there and at Hararu, 7 miles to the north, is a fight down 50 miles on a river gorge road. Chinese reds hold hills flanking the road for much of the way. Elements of the 5th and 7th Marine Regiments and the 31st and 32nd Regiments of the U.S. Army's 7th Division are cut off in the frigid wasteland. They are being supplied by air. Planes are removing wounded who have survived a five-day fighting retreat down both sides of the Shanjin Reservoir. While ground forces see little action, Allied planes rocketed and bombed the enemy all the way from the front to the Yalu River boundary of Manchuria. In Seoul, this is Max Jordan.
John Hightower here in Washington. President Truman's official voice in day-to-day contact with newsmen, Charles G. Ross, is dead. The president's press secretary succumbed at 4:40 p.m. yesterday of a heart attack. He was 65. A kind, gentle, sentimental newspaper man, Ross was catapulted into national prominence when his boyhood friend, Harry Truman, became president of the United States. Quoting President Truman, "It was characteristic of Charlie that he was holding a press conference when the summons came. He fell at his post, a casualty of his fidelity to duty and his determination that our people should know the truth, and all the truth, in these critical times," end quote. Long an ace reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Ross had just reported to 40 newsmen on the second conference between Mr. Truman and British Prime Minister Attlee. He lit a cigarette, then slumped over his chair. Presidential physician General Wallace Graham rushed up from the White House basement, but he said he was gone before he got there. Ross won a Pulitzer Prize in 1931 for his article on the Great Depression. In Washington, this is John Hightower speaking.
This is columnist Drew Pearson with the Washington Merry-Go-Round. For 5 days before Prime Minister Attlee's arrival in Washington, the State Department was deluged with cables and visits from North Atlantic Pact ambassadors. They asked if General MacArthur was deciding when and how the Western world should declare war on China. Reason for the alarm was not only the tragically precarious position of U.N. troops in Korea, but because Allied diplomats knew what the American public didn't. Namely, that on three occasions the British made proposals for avoiding a clash with China. First, the British urged that MacArthur halt U.N. forces on the 38th parallel. Officials admit that General MacArthur at times overreached his authority, but are inclined to blame kindly General Omar Bradley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, for not being tougher with his friend in Tokyo. What happened was that MacArthur would cable the Joint Chiefs of Staffs, demanding that he be allowed to override Washington's instructions. General Bradley would tell the president that MacArthur knows the situation better than we know over here. Despite planted news reports that MacArthur was acting under instructions from Washington when he led UN troops into the Chinese communist trap, Bradley candidly admitted that MacArthur was on his own, like any field general under the circumstances. Bradley also couldn't understand why MacArthur was unprepared for the Chinese invasion of Korea, inasmuch as the communists were massing an army of 500,000 troops on the Manchurian border for 2 weeks before the attack. As the meeting broke up, GOP Representative Dewey Short of Missouri told Secretary of State Dean Acheson that this is not the time to use the A-bomb. Quoting Short, "We should save it for the Russians, not drop it on her satellites." With the Washington Merry-Go-Round, this is Drew Pearson.
This is AP Foreign Affairs Analyst DeWitt McKenzie in New York. The Korean crisis holds everyone's attention now, and it should. It's looking pretty ugly. But there are other Asian hotspots where communism threatens as well. One of those is Indochina, where the French have sustained serious defeats by pro-communist forces. The situation looks extremely dangerous. Red forces trained by the Chinese communists wiped out some 3,000 French fighters in the mountains along the border. But as the French pull back to lines along the Delta heartland, they continue to smash at Red strong points. They've got the Reds off balance, delaying them from striking at Hanoi and Haiphong. Most of the arms received so far from the United States have gone to the new army of Bo Dai, the French-supported nationalist government. This army is only being developed and won't be ready for some time. There are guerrillas from one end of Indochina to the other. They may not have strong political beliefs, except that they don't like the French and they don't like Bo Dai. In New York, this is DeWitt McKenzie.
From the temporary home of the United Nations at Lake Success, New York, Communist China is being asked by 13 Asian and Middle Eastern countries to halt its troops at the 38th parallel in Korea. The appeal last night calls for a truce in hopes of preventing World War III. The 38th parallel is the boundary separating South and North Korea, over which North Korean forces invaded on June 25th. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from Firestone Toy Store.
Boy, do I ever have some good, real good Firestone Toyland bargains. Listen to this, folks. Have I got your attention now? A plastic toy gas station for 47 cents. A phonograph, a deluxe phonograph for just $19.95. And it only takes a dollar to hold it on layaway. Christmas special on Child's Plastic Bunny Broom. A big $1 value for just 47 cents. So, I could go on and on. But I can't take the time to tell you all the bargains. Like Jack in the Music Box. You would figure that would run about maybe $5 to $10. Just $1.98 is all, folks. There's so many. There's hundreds more bargains in Firestone Toyland in Superior at the corner of Ogden and 14th. Lewis.
The Superior City Council last night amended a zoning ordinance which paves the way for a second oil refinery to be built in the city in the Billings Park area. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Western Oil and Fuel Company of Minneapolis is contemplating a $7.5 million plant on a site near Belknap Street east of the Arrowhead Bridge. City Attorney George Flynn says it would be next to the St. Louis Bay and Howard's Pocket on the northern city limits. Also, Flynn told the council that he's planning to meet with out-of-town bridge engineers sometime during next week to find a spot for the proposed Duluth Superior High Bridge. A $5,500 bid for Whitesides Island, the largest island in the St. Louis Bay, was accepted by the council from the heirs of Whitesides. This bid was the only one received. It was recommended by City Manager R.E. Bumberger because only the heirs to the property could ever get a clear deed to the title. Whitesides Island accumulated $3,900 in back taxes. They also approved Councilman George Erickson's motion that the new extension of U.S. Highway 2 and 53 from 58th Street North to Hill Avenue be named after the late Judge Irvin L. Lenroot. Erickson says Lenroot is Superior's most illustrious citizen, having served as a U.S. Senator, judge of the Court of Customs Appeals, and other public offices, Lou.
As if inspired by the first flow of Canadian oil into Superior this week, three 71-foot-high fractionator vessels have been raised at the site of the Lake Superior Refinery Company near the Lakehead Pipeline Tank Farm on Stinson Avenue. The three vessels are the first of 30 being brought to Superior from Cut Bank, Montana, by railroad flat cars. A Hanukkah service honoring last year's board of directors and the installation of the newly elected board will be held Friday at the Superior Hebrew Congregation. Rabbi Aaron Gold will deliver the sermon entitled Superior Menorah. Heading the list of scouts who will act as ushers and color guard during the service will be Sherman Ansel, Billy Plunts, and Stephen Edelstein. Barbers in Cumberland and Spooner, Shell Lake, Shetek, Turtle Lake, and Rice Lake Matt and Rice Lake last night and decided the boost of the price of haircuts to 85 cents, an increase of 10 cents. Children's haircuts will be 75 cents, Jack.
There's going to be some long hairs on the McKenna neck if the Superior Barbers do that. 85 cents. The nerve.
Nice forecast yesterday. I can't wait for your all-seeing prediction for tomorrow.
I don't want to give it, and I'm not going to give it. Everybody blames the weather guy. Well, nobody's perfect, so I'm going to play some music. So let's swing and sway with Sammy Kay and Lavender Blue on the Martin and McKenna Blizzard of 1950 show.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. If I were king, dilly dilly, I'd need a queen. Who told me so? Dilly dilly, who told me so? I told myself, dilly dilly, I told me so. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you'll answer yes, in the pretty little church on a dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in a dilly dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll be my queen. Dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you'll answer yes, in the pretty little church on a dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in the dilly dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll be my queen.
That was a dilly, folks. Sammy Kay and his orchestra with Lavender Blue on KUWS.
You know, it's okay to give the forecast now. I guess I was kind of being hard on you. The Weather Bureau got it wrong, too.
Oh, you mean it? No more razzing? Well, okay. The forecast for this Wednesday, December 6th. 1950.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Quiet! The genius is at work.
Station engineer Joe Gardunio and Douglas County Draft Board chairman Joel Raffaele.
Engineer in charge, if you please.
And that's Colonel Raffaele there, McEwen.
Well, let me just stop the cold from my boots. Wait! It's not cold. It's 2 feet of snow. How could I possibly confuse snow with cold? Only a weatherman would do that.
Oh, and I've been shoveling cold against the tide, I might add, all day long.
And I almost got dilly-dilly stuck in the cold on my way here.
Yeah, McCorkle, that was some lousy forecast.
Generally fair and cold, I believe he said.
Generally dumb and stupid, if you ask me.
Sheesh, the worst blizzard since 1885.
You mean the worst job of forecasting since 1885? And now we're stuck here at this radio station till this thing blows over. When's this conflagration going to end, you McDumbbells?
You don't appreciate my work, so I'm not saying. I'm going to play some fun music. That's what I am going to do. Here's Roy Rogers and Hi-Yo on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Hi-Yo, Silver! Away!
Horses come and horses go, but there's one that you all know. People greet him with acclaim. Silver is his name. Give me the reins, there's pep in the veins. Onward, westward, ho! Hi-Yo, Silver, hi-yo! Over the trail, hill or dale, swift as wind we'll go. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo! Giddy-up, 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 we must prevent that crime. Giddy-up, 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 we'll get there in the nick of time. Under the sky we will fly, a-hunting we will go. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo! And we will go, hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. You never fail, so burn up the trail to her bungalow. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. Giddy-up, 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 I'll punch the villain well. Giddy-up, 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 cause the ornery cuss done wrong by Nell. Silver, old boy, I'm full of joy, cause she ain't said no. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. Up your heels, automobiles, can't get where we go. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. You're a good steed, so give me some speed. Come on, don't be slow. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. Giddy-up, 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 we'll stop to pick up Tonto. Giddy-up, 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 we're sure to get these bandits brow. Who said thrillers get those killers? The mortgage we must pay. Hi-yo, Silver.
Hi-yo, Silver,
hi-yo, Silver, away.
Hi-yo, Silver!
Hi-yo yourself, Roy Rogers, and hi-yo on station KUWS. Finally, a friendly face. Hi, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. Hey, what's all the commotion about out in the hall?
Well, I'm the most hated man in Superior today, that's all. I'm tired of getting harassing phone calls. I just got off the phone with someone who said I was no good and should quit. And that was my mother. Just kidding, Ma.
Hey, Jake, blizzards are great. Wind, snow, and it sure beats that 20 below weather you were talking about for today. As far as I'm concerned, I'm glad you missed that one.
What a pal. Now, take it away, Rapid Ray.
Hello, fans of the sporting world. The pro gridiron czar says this is the best season in National Football League history. This is the first season since the bitter four-year battle with the rival All-American Conference League. Now the All-American Conference is no more. Salaries have gone up, and the NFL has expanded from 10 to 13 teams. Jovial league director Bert Bell says eight teams will end up showing a profit this year. There have been rumors that Baltimore and our Green Bay franchises might fold. But things are looking just fine in Packerland. Club officials Fisher says the Packers are now in the best financial condition of their history. Ezra Charles, with his heavyweight fistic crown firmly in his hands, is looking for another opponent after beating Nick Barone last night. Manager of the Cincinnati Negro, Tom Tanis, had a confab with a New York matchmaker. So, there's a chance. A new title scrap is in the making. Denfeld's fast-moving, fast-breaking Hunters pounding out their second straight league win last night by defeating Superior East Orientals 46-38. Tall Russ Anderson led the Hunter attack with 10 points. Ray Johnson had 9, and Jim Hill 8. Joe Arco led the Oriental. Yes, he did. He slopped in his coffee. Joe Arco led the Orientals scoring with 16. Guard Pete Tierney had just 2 buckets. Tough night, Pete. And Cathedral coach Steve Bichon says tonight's tilt with St. Ambrose has been postponed because of the weather. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Jake?
Thanks, Ray. I think. Here's a new one from Tony Martin. You'll enjoy on the Martin and McKenna Show. Singer Tony Martin, and There's No Tomorrow on station KUWS.
All right, people. At least those of you that are still awake, listen up. My buddy, Chief Arthur Buchanan, says to stay home, don't drive in this mess.
Mr. Obvious advice to the rescue, I see.
Yeah, look here, Skinny. Look, all right, now, hey, listen. Now, when I was driving over here at risk of life and limb to deliver this important message, you could hardly see with the wind blowing and the snow. I mean, only stupid people were out on the road.
Touché.
We've got Douglas County Museum curator on the telephone line.
How'd he get up there?
Up where?
He said the telephone line. Is he some kind of high wire expert? He's on the road, but he's on the
road. Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Gerald Stowe.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Martin.
Is that weird talking
pale, pasty kind of guy.
That's not nice. Even weird talking, pale, pasty kind of guys have feelings, you know.
I'm calling to say the museum will remain closed tonight and tomorrow, too. Yes, this storm reminds me of the blizzard of 85. Superior was a boom town back then, but they had an advantage over us today. Horses could get around better in the snow than automobiles. But in those days, getting supplies for the winter was precarious, and early snowfalls might mean we'd be cut off from getting food and other necessities. Blood was always in short supply, too.
How did you survive?
Yes, the winter of 85 was a hard one for all of us. I mean, for all of them. Anyway, the museum's closed tonight. Only a fool would try to traverse the roads on a night like this.
Boy, he's got that one right. Some of the fools I saw out there when I was driving here, I'll tell you, boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Thanks, museum curator Gerald Stowe.
Yes, good night, and keep up the good work with the weather, Mr. McKenna.
Hear that? Even the pale, undead museum guy is on me. Well, I've had enough. It's time to get out my secret weapon.
No, not that. Not patience and prudence.
Yes, patience and prudence.
No need to go atomic.
These jokesters leave me no choice. So, good listeners, hang on tight. It's music and secret weapon time.
As long as it's not one of those long-haired jazz numbers, right?
Oh, no, Colonel. It's better than that. Here's patience and prudence, and tonight, you're mine. On the Martin and McKenna Blizzard of 50 show. Prudence. And tonight, you're mine.
That's about the nicest song I think I've ever heard.
I mean, that
aren't they the
just,
sweetest little
like
things you ever heard in your life?
On the swings,
I feel all warm and cuddly, even though I'm not warm and cuddly.
I mean, it kind of gets a guy, you know,
right there. Let me get you right there.
Yeah, kind of.
Right there.
Kind of makes me even like you clowns. You know, McCorkle, you're not a complete bum in spite of the bad forecast and McMartin, I kind of like you.
I told you shouldn't have played that song. This is making me uncomfortable.
How about a hug, Colonel?
There'll be no hugging.
All right, everyone, if we're going to be stuck here together tonight, I just want to ensure each and every one of you that we're going to be all right. Our transmitter and tower have been built specifically to meet these adverse conditions of blizzards and other such storms caused by high winds, ice, snow, and whatnot. We have an electrical generator downstairs in case of a loss of electricity. Furthermore, not believing said forecast of Jack's yesterday and realizing a northeasterly wind will bring us oodles of lake effect snow from Lake Superior, I have a sufficient supply of foodstuffs.
You brought grub? What a bell.
Oh, isn't this cozy?
So you really like the storm?
Well, the snow will insulate our homes, and we won't be paying so much for our coal heat this winter. Besides, it's fun to play in those big drifts. Did you see the size of them?
Which leads us to the problem of which we are going...
Which what?
We're to the... Which leads us to the problem of what we're going to do. I don't like the idea of staring at McCorkle and McMartin all night. I don't care how many cheesy little girl songs they play.
I'm not crazy about that either.
Oh, I know. As the sports guy, I've got a bunch of hockey sticks.
Congratulations. Any other interesting things you'd like to share?
Don't you see? We could move the furniture and play floor hockey. Well, I've always been pretty good in the goal. Goalie Joey, they used to call me. I'm a natural.
Gee, too bad there's five of us. So there's an odd man out.
If you ask me, there's about four odd men out here.
That means I won't have to... I won't get to play.
Hey, you can ref. Make sure the colonel doesn't cheat.
I don't know. We didn't play floor hockey in WW1, you know.
Either that, or we could talk, you know. Get to know some of the intimate details of each other's lives. Move some of the furniture here.
I can donate one of my shoes for a puck.
Stay in the floor hockey is not a bad idea.
Hey, that's it, folks. Come on. Stay tuned for the Aldrich family. Suspense Theater and the FBI in Peace and War. We'll break in with weather reports from time to time.
Ingrates. Down the hole.
We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, folks. The good Lord willing. And Ray and I beat the Colonel and Joe. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna saying, stay home and stay safe tonight. By the way, the forecast calls for more heavy snow tonight. Things will let up tomorrow afternoon, though.
So, it'll be clearing tonight and colder, huh? Thanks, McCorkle.
So, are you any good at floor hockey?
Good. I've got a French-Canadian name. I must be doggone good.
Doggone good?
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, John Munson, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.